All right. So do you have any big plans for the holiday?
No, not really. So it's just kind of the way the schedule worked out this year with the end of the school year and then teaching summer school. I basically kind of end up with like a 4-day weekend, which is nice. So we're recording on Wednesday this week.
Yep.
Thursday, I've got graduation events all evening to be at. Friday, I'm off, and then Monday, I'm off, but Tuesday, I start summer school.
Okay.
And then after summer school, I've got like staff meetings basically at the school I actually teach at during the school year for like 3 days. So next week is kind of rough before things settle into kind of their more normal summer flow for me. But yeah, no, this weekend is going to be a lot of kind of taking it easy.
Deal.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, I'm not mad about it.
Yeah. We're taking a trip up to Pine somewhere, like someone staying at a friend's cabin, and that's my goal too, is
Nice.
I'm just gonna like sit.
Yeah. And there's something nice about this is like the first time in a while I can remember where I'm coming up to a nice long break of school. I mean, kind of like summer school only sort of counts because it's like half days. But like coming up to one of these long breaks and my body having not decided, okay, cool, you're relaxing now. We can totally be sick and laid out for like 3 days. All this stuff that we've been fighting off for the last couple months, now we've got time. Cool. We're gonna let it all just hit.
It's funny because it's true, man.
Oh my
I
gosh, man.
totally get
Like
what you're saying.
the first week of summer vacation, the like first 3 days of winter break. Every year, my body is just like, oh, cool. We can relax. Beautiful. Bam,
It's like
you're laid out.
the germs are just waiting. Okay, now get him.
No, I feel like it's one of those scenes in like a war movie where my white blood cells are
They're
like holding the line
waiting
and there's
for the
someone
whites of
behind them
your
just yelling,
eyes.
hold,
Oh.
hold, retreat. And then they just like parting of the seas. And it's like, oh my gosh, man. Like,
Oh, that's fantastic. All right,
but
okay.
today, at the risk of jinxing it,
Okay.
I feel legit good.
Yeah. Start the vitamin C, get ahead of it, right? There you go. There
Exactly.
you go. There
Yeah,
you go.
just dumping in the vitamin C and all
That's
that kind of stuff.
freaking funny. All right, let's hit an intro and jump into it, huh?
Welcome to the podcast, Blue Collar Scholars. Not long ago, a group of brilliant minds met together at a pub to discuss their unfinished works. They recognize the value of coming together around delicious beverages and having meaningful conversations. That group was known as the Inklings. The Inkledoo podcast here, we're working to be the second iteration of that group. So pour yourself a craft beverage, pull up a chair, and join the conversation.
Okay, so have you had anything to drink? I know we're recording on like a weird schedule here because we got the holidays, so we're pre-recording. And so it's only been
Two
days.
days.
So, and weeknights, by the way. Oh,
Yeah,
look at you.
but
I'm so jealous.
because I am done with school now,
And a good podcaster.
I've got my nice, super dark, like pitch black midnight
Looks so
beer going
good.
right now. It is a Russian Imperial Stout called Old Rasputin. Not normally a summer beer for me.
Okay. Yeah, I've had that one.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I've had it before, definitely. I might have even mentioned it on a podcast before, although probably during one of our winter months, because that's normally when I go for it. But I was having a hard time filling out the sixth spot in my build your own six pack, and I saw it and I was like, you know what, I haven't had in a long time? Old Rasputin. Let's go for it. And I do. I like it a lot because it is very much on that toasted, malty, heavy notes up front. And it does have like a bitterness on the back
It
end.
does.
But I feel like to me, it hits more. And I know this doesn't sound like a compliment, but like the bitter on the back end hits to me more like almost a burnt coffee thing. Just because
Okay.
there's so much coffee
Sure.
and kind of chocolate
Sure.
up at the front that the bitter hits me a lot different than like the resinous hoppy bitterness, even though that's definitely what this is from. But the way the balance plays out instead, it's like, oh, this is, I had one of those fancy flavored coffee drinks going, and down at the end here, the flavoring was all gone. So I just got the espresso just straight down my throat.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like it a lot. It's 9%. So again, ooh, it's an imperial.
Really? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because it's an imperial stout. And so, but yeah, no, it's a really good, solid beer out of the northern part of California.
Yeah. I think I would need to, like, I had it, and that was the thing with it. It was just so, the bitterness just caught me so much, because, like, it just really packs a bit of a wallop, especially when you're drinking something dark and smooth, and then it's just like, it starts off dark and smooth, and then it's, yeah, in the back, you're like, holy crap. But I think, like, if you were drinking or eating, if you were eating something maybe fatty or gravy, like if you were having like a cheesecake or maybe like a sausage, like if you were having something that really needed some help cleansing, I think that could balance it out. But yeah, just by itself there, I was just like, man, that's a little bitter for me.
Honestly, like the first thing that came to my mind as I was drinking it is like, you know what? A small bowl of vanilla ice cream would be really good right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it would. Or like just a straight plain New York cheesecake type of thing.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
No flavors, just like a fatty cheese, you know? Like,
exactly. Just something that's like, I've got like a note to counter it. Like either the just straight up sweet from the vanilla ice cream or like you said, that kind of like fatty, kind of creamy thing going on with the cheesecake. Yeah, now I'm aware that I only did this half right by having this beer as we're recording tonight. You know, I let myself down and I feel like I've let the team down. I'm not going to lie to you. I can only promise I'm going to bounce back better. You know, next pod's our pod, man. We're coming back strong.
There you go.
We will not be defeated.
Oh, crap. That's freaking funny to me. I don't know why, but it is. That stuff just makes me laugh.
Oh, because we're bitter Arizona sports fans.
That's about
right. And so
we're
so used to the end of the season press conference that, like, yeah, we got it.
Oh, but speaking of coming back better, that's one of the things that we're kind of working on right now. So we are kind of this summer. So we started talking a little bit ago about how to get our pop-up back up. And we met a couple podcasts ago. We talked about it or mentioned it, and that we were working on some things. And I kind of wanted to talk through one of my experiences as part of this, which is, you know, like when we did the idea for the pop-up, I presented it to my mentor. I was like, hey, what do you think of this idea? And he's like, it seems to lack clarity. I was like, really? Because it makes total sense to me. And I left my meeting with my mentor just like really frustrated and disappointed. And I was like, this seemed like, because when you and I were talking, man, I was like, everything, we were both like, yes, this seems absolutely right. But then when I presented it to him, he's like, it doesn't seem to make sense. And when I look back at it, I was like, the reason is because like we don't have a clear mission, vision, values. Like we don't have anything written down. Like, you and I know who we are, what we're about. But if somebody asks us, hey, what are you about? We'd be like,
it's going to be a 30-minute conversation.
Yeah. Let me give you my dissertation here.
The only way we can call it an elevator pitch is if we're allowed to like smash that emergency stop button on the elevator and they're stuck now. Like,
all the buttons.
Yeah, sorry, we're going to be here for like 3 hours waiting for the rescue team to come through. But good news.
I have the time to explain it now. Yeah, so put in some extra work. And I actually, because we liked the pop-up idea so much, I kind of used that and kind of backed into our, you know, reconciling into our vision, mission, and stuff like that. And put it together in this little thing and sent it over to you, right? Said, hey, pray about it. You know, let's discern on it. Like, I don't want to do this the wrong way. And I am the type of person, which we have had to deal with, because it frustrates me as much as it frustrates anybody else, is
more.
Like,
let's be honest. Frustrates you more than it frustrates anybody else.
Probably does. But like, yeah, I'm an insufferable busybody. And so like I want to do, you know, like, and so sitting back and discerning is not an easy thing for me. And so like, as I've been working with stewardship this year, right? Like that's one of the big things is being in God's will, not in my own type of a thing. And so, you know, obviously was feeling good about this, sent it off. What I was really hoping for was like, hey, yeah, that sounds good. Let's go. Not a, yeah, you're right. I will pray and discern on this. You know, that's what I wanted you to do, but it's not what I wanted to hear.
Right, right. No, I get that.
And so like it was I've been sitting here and rolling with it and just been like clawing at the walls waiting for a response. And I'm just like, holy crap. Like I am a mess over here. And it's for good reason, right? Because I wasn't ready. Like if you had just said go, I would have just gone and done some more busybody work and it wouldn't have necessarily been, it would have made, been there to make me feel good about doing something rather than, you know, like I'm a Martha, right? Like I got to busy around the house and clean up and then complain why she's not doing something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it was good in that it forced me to stop and wait. And revelations came from that, you know, like I get caught up in the social media thing so much, right? You know, like so many people tell you that social media is what business is. And yeah, there is a way to do business in social media, but like, I don't know that we're called to be social media influencers.
Yeah.
Right. And so
I would go like that one step farther and say, I do not feel we are called to be social media influencers.
Yeah. But it's that thing that I wrestle with because everybody tells me that that's what I'm supposed to be doing, you know? And so like, but what it does is it scratches my busybody itch, right? Like I can do things and do stuff, even though it sure doesn't do anything or achieve anything for us in like deep work. It really scratches my busybody itch and I can get caught on that hamster wheel thinking that that's the work and not really what God wants us to be doing.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's that idea of, you know, like you said, being like really intentional with what you're doing on it. Because when I say we're not called to be influencers, like, is there a part of me that would really love to be like, yeah, no. Through my discernment, I have realized God is not calling me to be on social media, so I'm going to wash my hands of all of this madness and not have to deal with it. Man, I would love to be able to do that, but I would be putting words in God's mouth.
Yeah.
Like, he has not told me that.
Yeah.
But, like, it's that idea of what are we posting for? Mm-hmm. Like, what is the reason behind it? How are we going to measure success with it? Because even if we have a really clear idea of what we want to do, that doesn't mean we're actually doing it. And so there still needs to be that kind of evaluative piece where we can look at it and be like, okay, so we said that what we wanted our social media interactions to do is like these two things, maybe three if we're feeling really aggressive. We want these things to happen, and here's how we're going to know if that's happening, you know. But like the difference being I believe very strongly we're not called to be influencers. What I mean by that is that what we shouldn't be using to measure it is just straight up how many accounts do we have following us?
Right. Yeah.
You know, like selling ad space on the Inkledoo Insta. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not opposed to it. Sponsors, if you're listening and want to throw a few bucks our way, I'm not going to fight you on it.
Right.
But again, like that idea of us showing up in like branded gear and just like constantly making a key point of like showing the logo on the stuff we're wearing and things like that.
Yeah.
That would be counter to like
who we are.
Yeah. It would be impossible for us to do it authentically.
Right. Yeah.
And whatever God is calling us to, I know he's calling us.
Yeah.
Which means that when we find ourselves doing something that's not authentic, then we know, okay, yeah, we've gotten our means and our ends confused on this one.
Right.
And so to that extent, that's where like this time and this reflection is important. But it's also, again, and this is why I was saying, like, you get more frustrated with you about this than definitely I do. I guess I can't actually speak for everyone who interacts with you and say that you're more annoyed with yourself than anyone else is. But, like, for me, it's one of those things. I really appreciate it that you are, like, especially because you've got the awareness where you are, like, keeping yourself kind of on the leash and not, like, just fully letting yourself go, no, we're going to do a million things right now. Like, that's not where you're at.
Not anymore, so, like, anyway.
Well, that's, yeah, look, growth is growth, baby. We've been, you legitimately, I say this not actually with any joking or ironic tone to it, but you recognized something about yourself, set out to work on it, and have made tremendous progress with that, which is awesome to, like, be a, like, front row seat observer of watching it happen.
Yeah, I think we had a year with, like, three pages of goals or something like that that I was working on.
We did do that. We did do that. But, like, for me, my natural tendency is not to be a busybody. My natural tendency is to come up with a good idea and allow it to just sort of remain an idea. Like, oh, yeah, no, it'd be awesome. I hope someone does that. With a very clear, like, asterisk next to that someone that makes it very clear, not me, like, as part of it.
Right.
And so, like, there is – patience is key, but patience isn't being idle. Mm-hmm. It's waiting. You know?
Yeah.
And so, like, that idea of, I think – big part of what you bring is that you have a real gift for, like, keeping the eye on the horizon, looking for when is that opportunity coming. And yeah, if it doesn't come super quickly, sometimes you want to kind of, like, this looks kind of like an opportunity. I'll bet we could do this. I'm sure God will get on board. But, like, you are very aware of that idea of that you were not created to be a passenger in life, that you were created to do something. Right. There is a way God intends for you to cooperate in his plan. And your eyes are fixed firmly on the horizon looking for that. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that, I don't want this to be a, like, over the top kind of, yeah, you know, I really suck at being patient. Nah. Right. We both really suck at being patient on opposite ends. Like, our natural tendencies towards patience is actually neither one of us are super good at it. Your natural tendency is to be much more busy. And I'll be honest, mine is to be sedentary. Like, I will fade into the rocks. I will be part of that cliffside watching creation go past. Yeah, it is a growth area for both of us of that idea of first recognizing, and I would say this has been, like, a major focus for us for at least the past few months, very heavily and very intentionally, mm-hmm. but longer than that, that idea of that awareness of our gifts and putting them at service of God, not doing service for God, but, like, putting ourselves at service of him.
Right.
Like, here are the things you have given us, Lord. We want to give them back to you. Show us how.
Yes.
The show us how part is where, like, I think that's kind of where we're at now, trying to figure that out.
Right.
Like, recognizing what the sign is and me, like, making sure I'm keeping my eyes open because, you know, Jesus made that coming like a thief in the night reference so many times.
Right.
You would think I would know to take it seriously. But I was like, yep, thief in the night, but that's all right. It's tomorrow night, I'm sure.
It's tomorrow night, you know? I'm sure.
And so, like, that idea of being ready.
Right.
Being ready to move, that's where I think a lot of this is kind of coming.
Yeah, and also one of the things that I realized, too, when you were talking about the, you know, here are my gifts, how you want me to use them, instead of working for God type of, you know, all this thing came together in what I thought in waiting and listening to God is that he would add things and say, go do this. But really, like, out of all of the things he said, don't do that and stop doing this. And I was like, are you sure? You know, like, yeah. Like you want me to do less? And it's like sniper mentality, right? Instead of watching the entire horizon, no, you're watching a single point. And you know everything that's going on in that point. You know, like, yeah. Like I was looking at too many things and I'm losing too many things. It's like, no. Do this and do that. And then these are things that, you know, like vocationally, like your family, your relationships, those are things that always are, they're a constant, right? That yeah. call will never, ever stop. You already know that one. On top of the call, as it pertains to your creativity and Inkledo and all of these things, do this and do that. And it was like, that's it. You know, I'm like, there's no way that you only just want me to do just that. There's no way, right? Like how would you shed stuff out? Like, it doesn't make any sense. I'm still kind of like struggling with accepting it that he was pulling things off. And that's where like the whole idea of the influencer thing is like, that is not part of, that's not one of the things that he told me. He didn't tell me to invest a bunch of effort in. Like, I still creatively will screw around on some videos on Instagram and stuff, but that's just because I have nothing better to do when I'm watching my girls' jiu-jitsu class, you know? And so I'm screwing around, but it's not like actually taking my energy, and it's just put your energy in these two spots and that's it. And I'm still reeling that when I said, I want to be a part of your will, he said, do less instead of do more.
Well, and I think for me, one of the things that I've kind of noticed, I would say more than realized, because like as you were talking, I feel like it was starting to cross over into like an actual realization where like I'm becoming really aware of something. But one of the things that I've always kind of noticed and just sort of been in the background of my thoughts is that like I think a lot of that kind of stems from the fact that God and we look at time very differently. Mm. You know, because we only see this one moment. And we and God are all very aware of the fact that we have a limited amount of time. Mm-hmm. And so for us, when we think about how we're going to make the most of the gifts that God has given us, how we're going to do the best and the most we possibly can and be the most in line with his plan for things, we're thinking, well, shoot, I don't know how many more moments I've got, so I had better be pouring everything into this one. Mm-hmm. And on a certain level, that's true.
Right.
But the difference is God knows how much time we have left, and he knows those things that are coming down the horizon mm-hmm. that we haven't seen yet. And so he knows that if we're investing all of our energy, basically the shotgun approach counter to the sniper one, by throwing out everything we have at all times in 100 different directions, we're not going to have any ammo left when this spot comes up where he really wants us to hit this.
Yeah.
And so like to us, we feel like if we're not actively doing something, we're wasting that time and we're missing that opportunity. And God's like, no, I gave you this time to recharge, to prepare, so that when this time coming up that you don't know about yet gets here, you'll be able to really just nail that one and hit it out of the park. And so, like, there's a very real limit on our ability to ever truly grasp that. Because, like, being aware of that, cool. Yeah, that will help me on the one out of every 3 million times where it should be something that I think of, that I actually do think of it. The other 2,999,999 where, like, I'm too busy thinking that I know what I'm supposed to be doing, those times I'm not going to think of it and it's not going to help me. Like, ultimately, I'm a human being and I can only see things as a human being does. But at least with the advantage of like hindsight, looking back on things where it's like, man, I was so sure that's what it was going to be. Like, oh yeah, no, that's right. That was me thinking that like I knew what God wanted for me, or that I even knew what it would look like for me to maximize my gifts. I have no idea beyond saying that I haven't done it yet. Other than saying for absolute certain that I have not seen the absolute maximization of the gifts God has given me yet, I can't say a whole heck of a lot else about what that maximization will look like. So the idea that I'm going to be the one who comes up with the plan and the format for how to do it, it just ain't going to happen.
Hmm. That's good. That's, you know, and as you're talking about that, there's a level of trust that you have to display in patience. Like when you're waiting, like you have to trust that what God is telling you now is an investment for this. Like, cause you, like you said, we're so limited. So you have to roll. That's faith. That's trust. That's, you don't know. And so you can't actually prepare. And you just have to listen and be like, okay, well, I'm going to do that because I assume that that means that's going to set me up for success in the later run. And it's interesting because like the picture that I have in my head through all of this is the Israelites circling, is it Mount Sinai?
Yeah, but right. they're wandering in the desert for 40 years on a trip that definitely should have taken like 9 months.
Yeah, they're circling the one mountain over and over again because God's leading them. And they see the path to the promised land and they're just like, no, we're going to keep going. All right, that sucks. And they go around again and oh, there it is. No, we're not going to turn yet. Okay, that sucks. And you go and you just kind of keep going around in this circle, seeing the promised land, but never like turning towards it. And that's what it feels like sometimes, right?
Yeah.
But in that time, like that's when, you know, this is me drawing additionally on top of this. I understand that this was whatever, but you know, like God, God is doing deep work there in that he is killing off generations of Israelites.
Yeah. Right.
They said, you guys aren't allowed to go. So we're going to circle this mountain until y'all die. And then when the kids who haven't screwed up are running the show, then we'll cross over. And that's kind of what I was thinking about in me. I was like, we just have to trust God as we circle this mountain and just kind of kill off the crap that's in there so that when you cross over, you're ready, you know?
That's exactly it. And like, because like when you were talking about, no, I know the stuff God was doing with Israel. For me, like a lot of times it really is helpful to like, I look at the people of Israel in the same way that I look at the church in the New Testament. Mm. You know, it is the body of Christ. Yes, there are many people, but they are one. The Israelites were one. They were God's people. They were his visible presence on earth. And so, yeah, like we as individuals go through what they as a people did. And there is a whole lot of, oh, but here's the thing. And God might very well be telling us like, oh, yeah, no. That is exactly the thing I'm going to have you do. Mm-hmm. You ain't ready for this yet. Who are you kidding? Like, and there is a very real part of us, like the Israelites. There's that group who, when God announced, fine, you don't trust me to give you the promised land? This generation doesn't get to go. Mm-hmm. You didn't trust me. And then there was this group of people who were like, you know, out of a totally understandable and on some level justifiable desire, they're like, God, you're right. We failed to trust you. We trust you now, though. We will go now. And they were warned, no, God is not with you now. Now all that stuff you were worried about is going to happen if you go. You are going to get wiped out. No, we will show God that we trust in him. Hmm. Not enough to listen to him, but that we trust in him to deliver us the promised land. And so they go charging in, and sure enough, they get wiped out. And like, yeah, there's a very real part of us that wants to do that same thing, where it's like,
that is my
we're
life.
Not even necessarily wrong. We're not even wrong when we say that is definitely God. I just feel like that's what you've got in mind for me. And he might be sitting there saying, uh-huh, yeah, eventually. I trust you, God. I trust you to bring me victory and bring me this thing that I really, really want. Okay. Do you trust me enough to let me tell you when you get it? Well, now let's not get crazy, God. Let's not get crazy now.
Oh, man. I hate it when it's those Bible verses that make me feel seen. You know?
Oh, yeah. No.
You're like, oh, I feel seen, but that's not how I want to be seen.
Oh, no. The moments where I relate to like any of the major characters in the Bible, it's never their glory spots. Like, It's always immediately after. Like, Peter, on this rock I will build my church. No, I don't really relate to him there. Get behind me, Satan. Three lines later. Yep, okay. Okay, I see that.
That seems more appropriate. Peter,
getting that step out onto the water? Man, that's awesome. I hope someday I'm able to do that. Peter sinking immediately after that? Oh, yeah. I get that. Peter up on the mountain with, like, Elijah and Moses there talking to Jesus. And Peter, like it says in the gospel, he knew not what he was saying, but homie had to say something.
Should I build a tent?
Let us build tents! Like,
everybody stops and looks at him, like, in my head,
Jesus, Elijah, and Moses stop their conversation to simultaneously facepalm and then just go on with their lives not acknowledge what he said at all.
But that is the truth of the conversation that we're having, is that, like, in the presence of God, I need to do something. I can't just sit here. Yeah. And so I'm like, I know you guys live in heaven, but I feel like I should build a tent. So I'm going to build a tent because I don't know what else to do with myself right now.
Lord, you're talking about you suffering, but that doesn't make sense. You're really good. Why would you suffer? No, you've got this wrong. No. Lord, who I trust and who I've declared to be the chosen one of God. Okay. No.
If you sit in this tent, I think you'll think differently.
Yeah. No. Look. Trust me on this one.
Oh, crap. Man, that's... I love it. I love it when the Bible speaks so true into your life and you can laugh about it.
I was going to say, like, that's a key.
It's not as much fun when you can't laugh about it, because sometimes you can't, but, like, when it's one of those times when you can, you're just like, oh, I love that God has a sense of humor. It feels
good. It's one of those things. Like, it's really clear that right now we're at a spot where we are not sinking in the water and we're not hollering out at on the mountain at the moment. Because then I know I've had those times as well where I read it and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is me. But, like, it's very, like, somber and kind of crestfallen. Like, you know, Lord, you didn't have to call me out like this in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Right now it's one of those things. Like, I just know this is a pattern for me. And so, this is hysterical. Plus, I take a lot of comfort in knowing how it worked out for the people who I'm relating to.
True.
So as long as I continue to relate to them the rest of the way, things will be good.
There you go. That's a good place to end. Like, we're going to keep it there. No, we're not. We're going to go into life lessons. So if you were going to wrap it up into a life lesson, what do you think you would pull together from all this?
I think, and I feel like it's one we've talked about before, but it's been a while. But, like, it does for me, it kind of comes back to that idea of the difference between being patient and being idle. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to make sure that I am prepared so that when I'm waiting, I'm not wasting time. Because if I'm not prepared, then I need to be doing something to prepare.
Right.
But if I'm, like, prepared, if I'm doing the things that God is telling me to do in this moment and not worrying about all of the other things that I could possibly do in this moment, then I can wait. And I'm not wasting time at that point. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for the opportunity that God is presenting to me and that God is presenting me to.
Yep.
Like, because both of those things are God's creation to be in harmony. The things that I bring to that God has given me to bring to the table, and the situation where those gifts will do the most good, God has created both of those with the intention that they are to meet. And even when I royally screw up, I can't completely undermine that, because, like, God is... The goodness of God is so much beyond the badness of me that, like, I can't really screw it up.
Right.
But, like, I can miss out on my opportunity to, like, really experience the glory of God in those moments. Yeah. And so I've got to make sure I'm ready. And then I got to be patient and I got to wait.
Yeah. Yeah. Just in all of that, again, it just brings me back into Mary and Martha too. Cause, like, Martha being frustrated with Mary thinking that she's idle, but she wasn't idle. She was at the feet of Christ, you know, like that's not being idle. That's what heaven is, you know, like that.
She's chosen the better part.
That's So a lot of that is in perspective, and that was a lesson for Martha through, I think, you know, a couple times. I think she gained that lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really who I relate to the most. Cause like I said, you know, for my life lesson, it's, you know, busyness isn't effectiveness. Ooh. And so, you know, like people like me who need to be busy to feel accomplished, who need to always be doing things, you know, like that, it's not always effective, right? Like you can do too many things to where you're not actually accomplishing anything. And so when you do finally sit down and get quiet enough and you stop being a busybody and you sit at the feet of Christ with Mary instead of bustling around, then you see, oh, I didn't need, you know, like Jesus didn't really care that I polished that pot. You know, he wanted me here with him, you know, type of a thing. Yeah. It's a silly analogy, but like, no, it's like, stop being busy, be at the feet of Christ, and you'll find that you probably don't have to do as much as you think you have to. But when you focus on the things that God calls you to, you'll be much more effective. Like you can take all that busy energy and put it into one or two things, but you'll take those two things a lot farther than if you take a million things, you know, an inch at a time, you know.
Definitely.
That's kind of been my life lesson in all of this, is just learning to patience and trust and all of these things. Just it's a complex combination of just sitting at the feet of Christ and listening a little bit more.
Yeah. Go when he sends us as opposed to when we wish he would.
Yeah. Truth. That's it. That is it. Summed up fairly well.
Love it.
And when he does send you, you're going to need some coffee for your trip. So we would like to provide that coffee. Jump on that website, support these meaningful conversations by ordering a couple bags of coffee. We roast it fresh, ship it to you. We also got some cool swag and some coffee mugs and things like that if you so desire. Every little bit helps. We hope these conversations help you as much as they help us. And you got anything else on your mind there, man?
No, man, I'm good.
Right on, right on. With that, we will say
adieu.